Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Fan Evening Show. I'm Jason Mackey here with you for about another 90 minutes. We've touched on hockey, we've touched on baseball, and we haven't really done a lot on the Stillers. Excited for this, let's go out to the fan hotline where we find my Ireland roommate in Castleknock outside of Dublin, Brian Batko from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Brian, how are you?
What's up, Jason? I guess we were more... I'm doing well. I guess we're more housemates than roommates. I don't want people
that's
to
a good point.
College dorm room with you on the top bunk and me on the bottom bunk. But yeah, we'll always have that weekend castle knock.
I miss it a little bit. It was fun. I regret not doing more in Ireland. You did it right. I did not. I should have been more social.
Well, I didn't really get to see much outside of Dublin because, I mean, you know, weird thing about a work trip is I had to actually do some work, but if I ever go back, at least now I know that, you know, Dublin could be a good home base, a good place to go out for a night, but then, you know, see the rest of the country, take in the sights and everything else that Ireland has to offer.
Yeah, for sure. And I wouldn't drive in Dublin, but I think I'd drive to Northern
Ireland. In Dublin
Ireland.
1 week is what I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Well, yeah, that's true. You got out. You got out of there, but I spent a night in Dublin 1 week is how I would describe that.
All right, let's talk about the current team a little bit. I want to start with something Mike Tomlin said today, Brian, about injuries, talking about Calvin Austin, Jalen Ramsey, and I'm going to quote, they've been highly aggressive from a rehabilitation standpoint. It seems far-fetched to me that these guys would play Sunday against the Browns. I'm curious how you interpreted Mike Tomlin's wording there and whether you think there's an outside chance these guys could play.
Yeah, I mean, I don't put a ton of stock in Mike Tomlin's injury assessments these days, but that's better than the opposite, of course. I'd still be stunned if Calvin Austin plays this week. I'd be a little surprised if Jalen Ramsey is back so soon from his hamstring injury, but I mean, Ramsey is, he's kind of a physical specimen, a freak of nature, so maybe that aggression is paying off, but Calvin Austin, I don't think that's very realistic, so yeah, a little surprised he didn't just rule them out. But yeah, I think it's going to be tough to have them out there Sunday, and especially with a quick turnaround to the Bengals game, maybe you can get past the Browns without them and reassess on the short week.
Another storyline from earlier today, Brian, Mike Tomlin was asked about Pat Freiermuth and his lack of involvement in the offense, talked about the Vikings and 4-3 personnel and all that stuff. Where do you come down on it? Do you take that as a logical explanation, or is there something more going on here that Pat Freiermuth has all but disappeared from the Steelers offense?
No, I don't think there's more going on. I do take Mike Tomlin at face value there, that you can disagree with the philosophy, but I don't think that he's selling you a bill of goods when he says that is the philosophy, that we want to try to get the run game going and we do need bigger bodies to match up with the Miles Garrett's of the world, or in the case of the Vikings, the Jonathan Grenards of the world. So, you know, there's more than one way to do it. But I think the Steelers would rather try to dictate the personality of the game with physicality and getting it done on the ground than they would having Aaron Rodgers drop back and throw it 35, 40, 45 times a game, which you'd probably be hemming yourself into that a little bit more if you want to open it up with the likes of throwing the ball to Jonnu Smith and Pat Freiermuth at the time.
Fan Evening Show. We're chatting Steelers with Post-Gazette Steelers beat writer Brian Batko. You can follow Brian at Brian Batko on Twitter or X. Read his stuff, post-gazette.com, of course. So against the Browns on Sunday, Brian, do you expect Pat Freiermuth to be a little bit more involved than he has? Like, what do you think the game plan might dictate here?
I think that they're going to get him on track eventually, but I don't know that it's going to be this week. You know, I think this is going to be another kind of grinded out slugfest. Things might get, I don't want to say worse. It's hard to get any worse for Freiermuth right now, but I don't know
this isn't the game for him to get right.
Yeah, I don't know that they're going to get better just yet. I think you're going to see a lot of Darnell Washington again. I think you're going to see that Spencer Anderson package again. I think you're going to want to see the Steelers kind of take the fight to the Browns rather than try to kind of zig while they zag, because you know, if you are dropping back a lot, whether it's play action or shotgun, 11 personnel, even 12 personnel with pass-catching tight ends like Jonnu Smith and Pat Freiermuth in the game, you're sort of asking Myles Garrett to tee off on you and beat Broderick Jones one-on-one. And I'm pretty sure the Steelers would like to see Aaron Rodgers make it to week 7. So I just don't know that that's going to be their MO.
Yeah, that was my next question specifically about Broderick Jones. This is a massive matchup for him. A lot of Myles Garrett. How do you expect the Steelers to approach this, and how do you think Broderick fares against, obviously, one of the best pass rushers in the NFL?
Yeah, I know Tomlin said today that he hadn't spent a lot of time, you know, thinking about how to motivate Broderick Jones, but I think that's more in the sense of, like you said, Broderick Jones is no dummy. He knows the challenge that he has, but I would venture to guess that Mike Tomlin has been in his ear all week, will be in his ear all week, about 95 staring across from him. It's more so just Broderick Jones better not have to need any extra motivation for this game, because he's watched from afar Dan Moore take on the Myles Garrett challenge. Now he is the one in those shoes, and I'll just be very blunt. I don't think it's going to be easy. I think it could get ugly at times, but the Steelers, to their credit, other than a few games in this series over the years, they've done a pretty solid job of giving schematic help to whoever that left tackle is so that Myles Garrett doesn't just completely wreck the matchup.
Fan Evening Show, chatting Steelers with Brian Batko of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Follow Brian at Brian Batko. Brian, how do you think, I would imagine Jaylen Warren is coming back. That's certainly the tone that I picked up on from Mike Tomlin this week. Kenneth Gainwell's a fantastic game in Dublin. How do you see carries getting divvied up there? Is Jaylen Warren still a true RB1, or might it be a little bit more of a timeshare?
I think Kenneth Gainwell has showed that you can mix him in even a little bit more, and not just in the traditional passing situations, which I thought was going to be pretty much the entirety of his role, but then things changed. You know, Caleb Johnson got in the doghouse, if you want to call it that. Kenneth Gainwell showed what he showed at Croke Park against the Vikings. And yeah, I think that's a net positive for the Steelers, that you still have Gainwell as sort of a pass catching back specialist, but he can do more than just run good routes and move the chains through the air. He can also run hard on the ground, get you some tough yards, and be a better complement to Jaylen Warren than maybe they even thought he could be those first couple weeks. So this backfield still is, it doesn't have the DNA that I thought it would when they drafted Caleb Johnson in late April, but as long as you've got guys who can be productive, are seeing the holes when they're there, and being their own blocker at times, making guys miss, this can still be greater than the sum of its parts, I would
say. Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I have a couple questions outside of the Steelers, Brian, but just want to check off one final one. Injury-wise, we're expecting Joey Porter Jr. and Alex Highsmith to play, I would imagine. Maybe some three outside linebacker sets. I'm curious what your feel is or what your sense is on the defensive backs. Do you line up Joey outside, Brandon Echols goes in the slot? Like, how does that affect personnel, probably not having Jalen Ramsey and bringing Joey Porter Jr. back?
Yeah, I think so. I think if you want to get your best DBs on the field, you're going to have to put Echols at the nickel there. I mean, if there were ever a week maybe to call up Beanie Bishop from the practice squad, this could be it. Or if there were ever a time to see if Jabril Peppers can move down into there, maybe this is it. But I think that Mike Tomlin and the Steelers like Brandon Echols so much, Jason, that they are going to just trust him to be out there as the inside guy, even though that's not what he's done so far. But they feel like he's a gamer and a pro who's got the versatility to go ahead and do that when it makes sense for the lineup. And it makes sense for the lineup if Jalen Ramsey's out.
All right, Brian, I'm looking at the Steelers at 3-1. I don't know what to think about the Colts, the Jaguars. I mean, they're obviously faring well. The Ravens look like a mess. The Chiefs lost last night. The Bills lost this weekend. How serious, you know, and it's a talking point. The Steelers are off to a really good start and things have kind of broken well for them. How seriously are you taking their chances at winning the division or doing some damage in the conference here? Or are you looking at it as just, you know, it's 4 weeks, let's settle down a little bit?
I mean, a little bit of that, let's settle down, but it's played out so well for them that it's hard to not get ahead of yourself and start asking the question of, are they now in the driver's seat for the division? Are they now a lot more formidable in the AFC than we thought? I still tend to believe that the Bills are a force to be reckoned with, and I don't really want to overreact to one loss against the Patriots, albeit at home where, you know, some things were exposed, I suppose, for them. But even the Chiefs, I mean, they're a team that, yeah, 2-3, but like, wake me up if they're struggling in November and December, you know. Fair. What I mean? So those to me are still the two big bads, the final bosses in the AFC that I would need to see more from the Steelers to feel like they can go through them. But yeah, otherwise, this side of the NFL has been thrown for a loop, and this division specifically, with all of the injuries across the board, I mean, it does look really good for the Steelers. And if they can avoid their usual collapse, I feel like we're going to be sitting here talking about them hosting a home playoff game.
It's crazy, man. It's absolutely crazy. Brian Bacco, last question for you. The Ravens, are you out on them? Do you think they can come back from this? Prior to this past week, I was thinking, that's the Ravens, they'll figure it out. But then, like, it suddenly got worse. They might be missing Lamar another week. Like, this seems serious for them, at least in my mind. Where do you come down on the Ravens?
Yeah, I'm not completely out. I still feel like if he gets back healthy and the rest of their team kind of gets up off the mat, then they could still go on a tear for sure. I mean, after this week against the Rams, you know, things do lighten up for them. You know, they get the bye, which is helpful. And then Bears, Dolphins, Vikings, Browns, Jets, Bengals in six consecutive games. You know, I could see them winning all of those if they're healthy. So then you would get finally your first game against the Steelers for Baltimore, and they never seem to play each other prior to December anymore. So those games are always high stakes. But I'm not shoveling dirt on their coffin just yet, Jason. But this is about as bleak as things could have potentially looked for them at this stage of the year without Lamar Jackson being done for the season.
Great stuff, Brian. Thanks so much, man. Appreciate it. Have a great rest of your night.
Yep, no problem. See
you,
Jason.
Brian Batko from the Post-Gazette. Check out his work, post-gazette.com. Follow Brian on Twitter or X at Brian Batko. And a lot of things to sort through there relative to the Steelers. And most interestingly, to me relative to the rest of the AFC. What teams are pretenders? What teams are contenders? Do the Steelers have this really excellent looking path in the AFC North? It certainly looks like it. I want to weigh into that a little bit with Joel next. We're going to debate what teams are pretenders, what teams are contenders in the AFC. First, Fan Text Line is brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Fan Twitter, it's brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. If you want to weigh in, that's always an option, 412-928-9370. Give me a shout. If you have some thoughts on the Steelers' first four games, if you have some thoughts on what should happen Sunday against the Browns, I know personally I am extremely excited to have Steelers football back. We'll also update you on this American League Division Series game that is not going so well for the boys in pinstripes, and the Penguins actually having a strong showing at MSG. We'll talk about that and so much more on the Fan Evening Show, Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.